Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to the exposition of the Gospel of John. We continue as we look at lesson number 9 today, chapter number 8, which I've titled Grace and Truth. We'll do an overview of this chapter, which covers verse 1 to verse 59. I'll look at the key revelation, which is John chapter 8, verse 58. We'll then conclude with 5 lessons that we get from this chapter, which I believe will be a blessing to you. Get your notebook, get your Bible. Let us flow together in the Word as I go through these lessons and the overview of this chapter. Now, from verse 1 to 11, we see the story of Jesus with a woman brought to him, accused of being caught in adultery. Now, Jesus went back to the temple after the incident of him being there in chapter 7, where we saw him teaching. And there'd been arguments about his identity, and there was commotion. Jesus, after the feast, goes back to the temple, and when he gets there, people gather to listen to him, and he begins to teach. And while he was teaching, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman who had been caught in adultery, and they set him before him and said, this woman was caught in the very act. It's not something that was said that she was adulterous or we heard, but no, she was caught in the act, and we have brought her to you. The law of Moses commands us to stone such a person. What do you say? Now this they said, tempting him, that they might have something to accuse him. When Jesus heard these things, he stooped down and began to write with his finger in the soil or on the ground. One thing that quizzes me about this story is these men, the Pharisees and the scribes, bring the woman. But the woman was not committing adultery alone. Where was the man? Because the man was also a sinner. He had committed adultery also, but they just bring the woman. Already you see how biased they were. So they bring this woman to Jesus, they accuse her. Jesus does not answer a word. He begins to write. So when they continued asking him and pestering him, he then lifted his head in verse 7 and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. What a word. Just like that. He without sin, let him throw the first stone. You are accusing this woman. If you are perfect and holy, you can stone her. Then Jesus stood down and began to write again. Many have thought and tried to imagine what was Jesus writing down. It's left for us to speculate because we are not told what he was writing down. But I would say, I think he was writing down grace. Grace, unmerited favor. We are saved by grace, not by works. So after some time, while he was still writing, the men that had come to accuse this woman were convicted, and one by one, they put their stones down and left, starting with the greatest. And when Jesus lifted his head, he then said to the woman, woman, where are thy accusers? Has no man condemned thee? That's verse 10. Verse 11 says, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. That's grace. Grace. The woman had sinned, but the grace of God was bringing her to the place of salvation. In chapter 1, Jesus is introduced as the one who brought grace and truth. The law was given by Moses. The Pharisees came with the law. Moses said, such a woman must be stoned. Jesus responded with grace because he himself brought grace. And he says to the woman, I do not condemn you. He did not come to condemn, he came to save. And the Bible says there is no longer any condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And he says to her, go and sin no more. So you see that grace brought her to the place of salvation and forgiveness. But it is the same grace that empowers her to now go live a righteous life and fulfill her destiny. Oh, hallelujah. What a blessing. A woman who was supposed to perish at the hands of the law is set free by grace. Not to be condemned, but to go and live a life empowered by grace for God in holiness and in righteousness. From verse 12 to 30, we see the testimony of Jesus. Verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. I am the third one. I am the light. Not I will show you light. Not I will shine the light. I am the light. And whoever follows will not walk in darkness, because where there is light, darkness cannot be there. John chapter 1, we saw that he was the light unto men, and darkness could not comprehend him. John 1 verse 5. He is the light. And where he is, darkness cannot stay. And they that follow him also end up walking in light. And the Pharisees began to accuse him and say, you bear record of yourself and your record is not true. What they're saying is, you are testifying on your own behalf. And Jesus said, though I bear record of myself, my record is true, because I know where I came from and whither where I am going. And you judge according to the flesh, and you judge as men. He was talking to the Pharisees. But he then goes on to say, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself. The Father who sent me also bears witness. So that's the second witness. In previous lessons, we saw that he talked of the works that also gave witness. That is the third witness. Even John gave witness of him. That is the fourth witness. So his witness and testimony was true. And in verse 21, then Jesus said, I go my way, you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Then they began to ask amongst themselves, does he want to kill himself? Where is he going where we cannot come? Jesus continued to testify, I am from above, and you are from beneath. I'm not from this world. You are from this world. And because you have failed to believe, you shall die in your sins. So he then says in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he, and that I do not do nothing of myself, but the Father has taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do all those things that please him. Hallelujah. So Jesus speaks about his death, that when I'm lifted up, you shall then know that I am what I am saying I am. The Father has sent me, and the truth shall be revealed. Hallelujah. From verse 31 to 47, we see the revelation of the truth. Jesus begins to speak to those that have believed in him. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews that had believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So he says, those that continue in my word, not those that begin, not those that are there for some time and leave, but those that continue from grace to grace, from strength to strength, then you are my disciples indeed. Then comes that powerful scripture. Verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So you see there, he says, if you continue in my word, already it shows us where the truth comes from. The truth is the word. Later in John 17:17, you see him praying for his disciples, and he says, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you shall know the truth. You shall know the word, and the truth of the word shall set you free. Hallelujah. Verse 33, they then answered him and said, we are Abraham's seed. We have never been in bondage of any man. How said that we'd be set free? So they lacked understanding. They thought they were free. And they said, we are children's seed. We have never been in bondage. Jesus then says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commit sin is a slave or servant to sin. And that servant abideth not in the house forever, but a son abideth. So he says to them, you are saying you are children of Abraham and you are free, but you are not free because sin has put you in chains. You are servants, you are slaves to sin. So you need to be delivered. And verse 36 then says, if the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That truth is the word, and we know that the word is Jesus. That's why he says, when the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. Hallelujah. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Because they had not received the word, they could not receive the deliverance. They could not receive life that God intended for them. Jesus goes on as they answered him and said, he talks to them and says, you are saying Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if Abraham was your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. So you see that these people had tradition. You remember the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, are you greater than our father Jacob? So they had a tradition, they had pride in their ancestors, but they did not follow what their fathers did. They did not follow, they did not reproduce the works of faith that Abraham had. For them, it was just religious to identify with Abraham with no works. So Jesus says, if we are the children of Abraham, you do the works of Abraham, and you would not be the ones that are fighting me and trying to kill me, because you'll be sons of Abraham. You'd understand that God has sent me. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Neither came of myself, but he sent me. Hallelujah. So here he's saying, they were saying to him, we are not children of fornication, because he had said to them, you are not the children of Abraham or the children of God, and you do the deeds of your father. And there we'll see later what he is talking about. So Jesus then goes on in verse 44 to say, your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abound not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He speaketh a lie, and when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, because he is the father of lies. So Jesus then goes on to tell them bluntly that, no, you are not the children of Abraham, neither is God your father. Your father is the devil. Hey, because you are doing the works that are similar to the devil. He is the father of lies. He is a murderer. That's why you are trying to kill me. And that's why you cannot receive my words, because you are not sons of Abraham or sons of God. You are sons of the devil. And that was the truth. And Jesus was preaching the truth. And the truth only could set these men free. From verse 48 to 59, we see there Jesus testifying his greatness that is beyond even Abraham. You see that the Jews held Abraham in high esteem because he was the father of the Jewish nation. So in verse 47, Christ had said, anyone who hears these words of mine will not die, but live. Then they said to him, now we know you are a Samaritan and you have a devil, because how can you say one will not die? And Jesus then continued to say in verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Verily is strong emphasis. After Jesus had said, he that heareth my word will live and not die, he then further emphasizes, after they said, you are crazy, you have a demon, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keepeth my saying, he shall never see death. The Jews then said, surely you have a devil. Abraham, our father, died. The prophets died. But you are saying a man will stay alive and never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, or the prophets that are dead? Jesus then says in verse 54, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If it is the Father that honoreth me, of whom you say he is your God, yet you have not known him, but I know him. Hallelujah. Then he says in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Hey, this got them angry now. And then the Jews said unto him, how can you, who is not even 50 years, say you have seen Abraham? Then there comes that scripture, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham I am. Hallelujah. Before Abraham I am. Before Abraham existed, I am. I am the one who created him. You remember chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was made by the Word. So he says, before Abraham was, I am. And that word, I am, as we have seen, is the name of God. And he says, I was already God before Abraham came on the scene. And when they heard this, that he is claiming to be God, they then took up stones and they wanted to stone him. He went out of the temple and he hid in their midst, and they could not catch him. Now let's look at the key scripture and revelation that we find in this chapter, which is John chapter 8, verse 58, which you have just looked at, where Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So we see Jesus revealing that he is more than the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He is more than that. He is more than a prophet of all the prophets. He is more than the kings of this world. He is the King of Kings. Before Abraham, who began the Jewish nation, I am, not I was, not in past death. He has ever been in existence and will continue to be in existence. He is ever present. Before Abraham, I am. He was showing his preeminence and that he was there before the foundation of the world. And that revelation is key. But instead of receiving revelation, they were offended. And many times that's where we miss what God is doing, when we take offense instead of receiving revelation. Let us conclude by looking at the five lessons we draw out of this chapter. Number one, Jesus did not come to condemn, but to save. That's very important. So the gospel that we preach is not a gospel of condemnation. It is a gospel of salvation. It is a gospel of grace. Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. That is what Christ has come for. And it is important that we understand that he has come to save, not to condemn people. but he has come to save them. As he showed that to the woman who was caught in adultery, he says, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. So that's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the love of the Father manifested through Christ. Lesson number two, Jesus is the light that gives direction. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. That talks of direction. The light, you hear David says, thy word is a lamp unto my path. A lamp unto my path means it lights the way. I'm able to see where I'm going. So Christ is the one that gives us direction. If you want direction in your life, you have to follow the leading of Christ. That's why he says, come, take your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. You follow him, you walk in light, and your direction is aligned with your destiny. Lesson number three, revelation of the truth brings deliverance. Revelation of the truth. When your eyes are open to the truth, whatever truth it is, when your eyes are open to Jesus, there's salvation that comes. When the truth of healing comes, you receive your healing. When the truth of deliverance comes, you receive your deliverance. When your eyes are opened towards it, when the truth of blessing and prosperity comes and you receive the revelation, your life is transformed. You begin to prosper. So revelation brings deliverance from any kind of bondage that can afflict or bind someone or limit someone not to be able to progress in their life. May you receive revelation as you listen to this teaching. Amen. Number four, the revelation of God is in the words of Christ. So it is in his word. You shall know the truth. The truth is the word. So when you know the word, that's why it's important to read, to study, and to hear the word. Because it is when you hear the word, it is in the word that we have the revelation of Christ. Because he is the word. And the word became flesh. So the word can also become flesh in your life as you receive revelation. Lastly, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He says, before Abraham, I am. Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. It means everything that is exists because of Jesus. You cannot have a letter, a sentence, without the Alpha and Omega. That is why the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginning, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Revelation chapter 1, he says, I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end, he who was dead but is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for grace. We ask for your grace. We come before the throne of grace and we pray that grace may abound in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your light. We pray that your light may shine forth, that we may have direction, which way to go as we follow you, King of Kings. I pray for revelation, oh God, that our eyes may be open to the truth, that our eyes may be open to the word of God, that we may know him, oh Father, and the power of his resurrection. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Stay blessed.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev. I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.